Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. They're called the Sister Fixers and one of the newest additions to HDTV. They are related and part of our Howard University family. And tonight, they join us as we continue our spring series to help you spruce up your home. Courtney Robinson and Leslie Antonoff are my special guests tonight. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Courtney and Leslie, thanks for joining the conversation.
Hey, thanks for having
Hi.
Me. Can we get an HU?
Great.
HU.
Thank you so much. So we got to get this straightened out first. So
sure.
Because Leslie is the one with the short platinum blonde suede cut.
That's me.
And Courtney is the one with the big curly natural.
Yes.
Okay.
That's me.
Right. So we have that squared away so we can differentiate, you know, who I'm talking to. If you've never had a chance to see these wonderful women do their thing, before we even get into the house stuff, how did this happen? You two were at Howard back in 2008, probably trying to figure out what you were going to do when you,
right?
After you walked off the stage, probably lost, didn't know what was going on. And then, and here we are barely 13 years later.
You telling my business.
I know. We're going to get in your business now, but.
Okay.
So, you know, Leslie, tell the tale. Yeah. How did this happen?
Sure. I went to Howard. I started at Howard in 2003 and left in 2007 and came back home to Los Angeles, where Courtney and I are originally from. And actually, I had said before I left Howard, I was set to go to law school, and that's kind of what was happening for me. But, you know, there was a different plan in sight. I ended up coming back home to Los Angeles and kind of getting involved through PR and, you know, was working in publicity for a while. And ultimately, that wasn't something that I wanted to do. And so a good friend of mine, who you all may know as Issa Rae, you know, was working on Awkward Black Girl, the series for YouTube. So I started working on that with her, just kind of making some cameo appearances. And that kind of took off. And I started doing a digital series on her YouTube channel called Let Leslie Tell It, which was essentially just pop culture and, you know, me just kind of talking my mess. Which was great. I loved that. and that turned into me writing a series with a friend of mine named Seth Brundle called Butter and Brown, which aired on Aspire for 3 seasons and still airs, actually. And that ended up becoming, you know, I auditioned with a production company that does programming for HGTV, and they, you know, kept in contact. And when Courtney decided to relocate back to Los Angeles, her and I held like an Instagram live to help people, you know, get their houses together in the midst of quarantine since we were all stuck in the house.
Absolutely.
You know, and my sister came on, and with all her knowledge and with all of mine, we were able to kind of kill that. That was great. And the people from that production company saw it and offered us a show on just a small network called HGTV. You might have heard of it.
Whether you own a home or want to.
Right.
So
exactly.
So Courtney, what's your specialty?
So I studied interior design and furniture design at Howard from 2007 to 2011. So actually this upcoming Mother's Day, I am celebrating officially my 10 years post-graduation at Howard. I feel like there's no better way to be celebrating that success than being able to do this show. And so I specialize in the home area. I am really about getting people in their comfort in their homes and not only beautifying it, but making it a more functional space for them to dwell. So whether that's your living space or your workspace or your hangout space, I think that all of those things are so important to how we move and how we live. And it really affects our life. And I'm actually very happy that over the last year, people have started to tune in more to that and take it more seriously and realize how important it is. And so that's what I'm here to do. I do construction. I do interior design from residential to commercial.
Wow, fantastic. And of course, you know, Leslie, you know, you're in my wheelhouse, not just lifestyle, but doing some stuff in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's
in these homes.
Yeah. That's right. Fantastic, phenomenal foodies.
Yes.
That's a whole nother level right there. So let's talk about where a lot of people are right now. And you two can just jump in. Obviously, I may call for you. But, you know, right now we've been talking a whole lot about interior design, full-blown repairs, decor. And I think, you know, the reality is that even though people are trying to do it themselves, they're not trying to do it expensively. But maybe perhaps they want to look at it as something that may have cost a lot of money when it really didn't. Talk to me a little bit about that, if you can, Courtney.
Yeah, so I think the truth is this. We all have an instinct about what we love and what we like and what makes us happy and how we want to feel inside of our spaces. But I always remind people that I go to an accountant to do my taxes. I go to the doctor when I don't feel well to get my prescription. And I go to the hairdresser to get my hair done because none of those are my ministry. So just because you have a home does not mean that home design and home decor is your ministry. However,
right.
I would say that if you're trying to do it and you want to do it well, just make sure that you are properly budgeting the amount of money that it takes to get you to the result that you want. And so that doesn't necessarily have to mean doing something cheap and making it look expensive or blowing all of your money and it looks expensive, but then it was worth the headache. I think that you set a budget for what it is that you're looking to do and make sure you do your research and reach out to a professional, because at the end of the day, we're here to guide you through the process and hold your hand, not to force our ideas on you. And so if you start with someone in the beginning, I always tell people it's cheaper to start with a designer than to go back and let us fix your mistakes and then pay additional money to have us come in and do it right.
That's so important, because I was just thinking, Leslie, that a lot of people are going through Architectural Digest, Better Homes and Garden, all of those things, and they try to put it together no matter how much or how little they spend. And then when it's all said and done and they look at it and they go, ugh.
Yeah, you know, I think so often what people don't realize is that when you see those, you know, spreads in magazines and things like that, those were done by professionals, you know, and so they know where to source items, you know, they know how to understand spatial design when you get into a space, you know, so often we go in and we're like, okay, it's a kitchen, so I know I need a table, you know, I know I need chairs. But we're not necessarily thinking through about how something's going to look in a room when it's all said and done. And I think that's where Courtney is talking about. Definitely, you know, referring to a professional. Even if you can't have them come and do the full scope of the project, just getting a consultation is the smartest thing to do. You know, have somebody just to lead you into the process rather than you jumping in head first and then you're just kind of drowning and you don't know how to get out.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I am talking to Courtney Robinson and Leslie Antonoff, the co-hosts of Six Sister Fixers on HDTV. If you have a comment, if you have a question for these ladies, please give us a call. Again, the phone number is 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Suzanne, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Suzanne. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question about a sofa and a love seat that I got back in the 80s. I still have it. It's in great shape, except the colors are really dated. I don't want to reupholster it because it's so expensive. And because of the shape of the arms and the big pillows, I can't find anything. What's my option in covering that sofa and love seat. I don't want to give it away or get a new one because it has sentimental value. My mother gave it to me. So what do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, so I would say, I know, Suzanne, that you may not want to reupholster your sofa, but I would say that is definitely the best option. If you really love your frame, the sofa has sentimental value, and you want to keep it, I think that the thing to remember is that because you've had it for so long, you're definitely getting your cost per use. And so going ahead and splurging to have it reupholstered and keep it in the family will only lengthen the time that you can have it.
So where might you shop for a cover?
Find some fabric. So again, this is somewhere where I would say you probably want to tap into the local design center there in Washington, D.C. It's down on I Street, and they sell wholesale fabrics, and you can go in there and you can shop in various showrooms to buy fabric by the yard, and then you can take it somewhere to have it reupholstered.
Okay. Suzanne, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to the Sister Fixers on HGTV. Courtney Robinson and Leslie Antonoff. So I'm still trying to get, you know, because I look through those magazines too. I'm still trying to get my sofa throw to look as beautiful and as graceful as they do in the magazine. I can't seem to get that right. But, you know, beyond that, talk to me, and we ask a lot of our guests about this, talk to me about painting. I'm trying to redo a dining room and finding a good painter who will take care and not just say, hey, buy the paint and we'll throw it up there. That has been really, really difficult. I think I finally found one, but he's not cheap. Suggestions, and what should I be asking a painter when we're talking about a complete redo of a room?
Oh, wow. Well, it's funny you should ask that because Courtney and I actually just finished repainting my entire house. You know, I just recently purchased a home, and so we had to go through and repaint the entire thing. The one thing I want to say is that, you know, we vetted the people who had come to the house and do the job for us, and there is nothing wrong with doing that. I suggest at least, you know, tapping into 2 to 3 professionals to come into your home and walk them around the space and just kind of see how they react to the space based on what you want, right? So my walls were dark when I came into my house, and I wanted them to go all the way very white. So I wanted to be sure that he could do that without an issue. So, you know, you have to think about how they're going to react to that. If you present a problem and they seem a little, you know, flustered already and we haven't even got started, well, then they're not the people for you. You know what I mean? So that's the first thing you need to know. You know, and then, of course, people kind of vary by price depending on how long they think it's going to take. So always I say have a timeline in mind that you want. You know, I let them know up front, hey, I don't have any longer than 3 weeks. Is that something that you can get done in 3 weeks? Again, if they feel like, oh, well, that's not for you. So if you have a checklist of items and things that you need crossed off, that's how you can boil it down to the person that will be right for the job. And then also don't be afraid to ask for a reference. You know, say, hey, I'm asking you to come do this for me. Can you give me 2 houses that you've already done? That would be awesome. And that way you can just check out somebody's background, how good they were in the home, and if the customer was ultimately satisfied when they left.
See, Courtney, my house is 83 years old. Okay, you know, brick and stone and the whole bit. And I've got plaster walls and you know, the guy told me, you know, well, you're going to need some sanding and some other stuff, which I know is the case. And that's why I went ahead and hired him, because on the telephone before he came to the house, he asked what seemed like a million questions. And I was impressed with that. And then when he came by just earlier this week, and he said, well, I remember when you said this, and I remember when you said that. And so he told me I didn't just need paint, that I was going to need something like a deglosser, and I was going to need a special kind of, you know. And so even as I saw more dollar signs begin to pile up at least I began to feel a little confident that this was my guy. If not, I will send him to you so you guys can take care of him for me.
I appreciate that he was thorough, though. You know what I mean? You want somebody thorough. Yeah. And that lets you know that they know what they're doing. Because when people get in there, and people who don't ask enough questions because they're afraid it makes them look like they don't know what's going on, those are the people you have to question ultimately. That means you don't know enough information for me. And that means I can't trust that you're going to get the job done right. You know?
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Karen, quickly, from Laurel, what's on your mind?
Okay. So I wanted to know if the young ladies do something like Havenly, the app, because my daughters and I just bought a little vacation home in a small town. It's empty, and we're in the process of coming up with ideas how to decorate. So this is right on time for us.
And what's it called? What kind of app?
Oh, Havenly.
The app is called Havenly.
Havenly.
They give you design ideas, and they pick out everything, and then you just order it, and they'll design it for you and tell you where to buy it and stuff like that.
Well, before you answer that question, Karen, I want you to hold on because I need to take a break. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download our app, the 96.3 HD2 app, on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking to the sister fixers from HDTV, Courtney Robinson and Leslie Antonoff. They are absolutely fantastic. One of the latest additions to HGTV. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Certainly tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Now, before the break, we were talking to Karen. She had a question about an app called Havenly and about getting some designs for that new vacation home. Good for you. That you just bought. Some thoughts, ladies?
Congrats, Karen, first of all.
Yeah,
get a vacation home. Courtney, I think you're the perfect person to answer that question because you have experience with that.
Yes. So I actually am super familiar with Havenly, Karen. Me and Leslie are not necessarily on that app, but we do offer design services. So if you would like to reach out to us off air, you can certainly shoot us an email at hello@materialsmethodsdesign.com, and Leslie and I can try and set up a consultation with you no matter where you are in the nation.
What was that email address again?
Please. hello@materialsmethodsdesign.com.
Materialmethodsdesign.com. You know, the Howard folks got to have a really long one. They can't do anything simple.
You got to make sure you know the name.
Yeah, obviously.
You can blame Howard for that.
Right? Oh, really? Okay. Karen, good luck. Congratulations. And thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chris, calling from Alexandria. Thanks for calling, Chris. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to the ladies for having the show on HGTV. And I have a question. What are the thoughts on using an interior designer? Well, an interior decorator versus an interior designer.
Good question.
Ooh la la.
I'll let Leslie answer this one.
Okay, Chris, so I'm going to tell you this. When my sister, when Courtney first started doing, I'm reverbing here. When my sister first started doing interior design, she was letting me know that there is a difference between someone that decorates and just designs. People that design are coming in and measuring, they're making sure functionality is up to par. Mind you, those that are decorating may just be coming in to add kind of the decorative items, you know, vases, tables, paint, things like that. But with this, and Courtney and I both kind of offer the full service scope of that. We're giving you the design and the decor because we want to make sure that your house is going to function as well as look good when we're done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So let's talk a little bit about that. What, define functionality. Give me an example of something that looks good but also is at the top of the functionality list and perhaps something that really doesn't.
So I would definitely say thinking about when you come into a space and so say if you come into the entry of a home, some people may have a mudroom space and some people when you come into their house, it may just be one table, a key is over here, they're always looking for their hat, the jacket, the scarf, but they got a cute wallpaper on the wall. So I would think of that in terms of decor versus design. A designer is going to come in and think about how you actually use the space, and then they're going to think about your needs and your wants and how to combine all of those things with an aesthetic touch. So you can come in and there may be wallpaper there, but maybe all of your storage that's super functional is concealed so that you can't necessarily see it if you're not trying to use the cabinet. So there's just certain ways that we can disguise and camouflage elements in a space that we definitely need and we want, but also make it aesthetically pleasing.
Okay, so now I get it. So when I walk into my house, I have the banister or railing. It's a red oak railing leading upstairs, but just beneath it as I walk past is a side table upon which I sit. My keys and my pens and my wallet so that I always know where it is. Functionality, I guess, at the top of the list there so that I don't lose anything. I'm still trying to work on the decor. And this is,
you need a vase. I need some flowers.
No, I have flowers. I love flowers, as a matter of fact. I buy them every week. So, you know, yeah, that's the thing. But and to that point, when you walk up my steps and there's a glass window, you see the vase. You know, if the window is, if the shades are drawn or not drawn, I should say, or up, you can see them when you first walk into the house, which I think is really nice. But talk to me about, for example, picture frames or artwork. Same frame, different frames. Does it make a difference when it comes to decor? Because a lot of the things that I often see are, no matter what the artwork happens to be, that the frames are the same color. They may be black matte to give it a more modern feel, as opposed to the eclectic, I really don't know what I'm doing look for my frames that I have at my house.
I mean, I definitely think that it depends on the look you're going for, right? I think an eclectic look is great. You know, like, that's the feel that you're bringing throughout your home. I think that's the thing that matters, is that you want to make sure that whatever the design aesthetic you're going for is felt throughout your home, right? Because that's how we have cohesion. I don't want, you know, you to come in and you've got modern in the front entryway, but then when we get to the living room, you know, we're going for country chic, and then suddenly we got to the kitchen and it's farmhouse. You know, that's when I'm a little confused. So I think, you know, it's not so much that you can't have a variety, but you just want to make sure that everything is landing on the same page.
So that brings me to another question.
Yeah.
Because let's talk about, for example, you know, the White House or, you know, where you have the red room, you have the blue room, you have the green room, you have and some people who have lavish estates, you know, like I do not, then but every room looks different. Is there something, so you're suggesting that there should be a running theme from living room to dining room to kitchen?
No, I would definitely say that the time of having themed rooms that are all different definitely used to be a style, but that we somehow moved into things flowing from space to space. So I don't think when you move into one room of your house and go to the next that it should feel like one should feel tropical, one should be, you know, full African decor, and then we've got, you know, doilies and traditional over here. I would say you just want to make sure that the vibe of your house is flowing from space to space. So if you want to keep one consistent color in all of the rooms, you can kind of weave that in and out and just be able to change out your linens and things like that to make sure they tie in together.
Well, I've already messed up. So
no.
I need help. What other kinds of trends are currently really popular right now when you're talking about home decor?
We're seeing a lot of terrazzo, which is, you know.
Terrazzo?
Yeah.
Is that like tiramisu? What on earth is terrazzo?
Come on. First of all, tiramisu is my favorite dessert.
Okay. What is terrazzo? Folks from L.A., they really, you move from the Howard folks to the L.A. situation. You know, what, for the people in the back, what is terrazzo?
It is a stone material.
It's a what?
A stone material.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. So, you're just seeing a lot of it being used in outdoor spaces as well as indoor spaces. It's become something that I really like a lot, and Courtney knows this, so every time she sees a piece, she shows it to me, and I'm really excited about it. I tend to like modern, but I tend to lean toward really wanting my space to be very natural. I don't lean into a lot of color. But, you know, I'm trying to get better about bringing color into my space and into, you know, my house. I think it just depends on, you know, how you're feeling about your space and something that you want to live with for a while. You know, I'm not one to also want to change up, you know, often. And I know that some people, you know, kind of enjoy doing that.
Mm-hmm. Courtney, is carpet out?
You mean wall-to-wall carpet?
Yes.
No. So I think, again, that just depends on what the space is for. You may have like a baby room that having wall-to-wall carpet is just easier. You know,
I know none of that over here, you know? But
okay, no.
My baby graduated from Howard last year, so I'm good with that.
Well, congrats. Go
ahead. Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
But I would say carpet, definitely wall-to-wall is not out. But you want to just, again, be mindful of colors. You don't want to do a lot of the heavy things that we used to do back in the 70s and 80s with the dark greens and the dark burgundies. Keep it light, keep it fresh, keep it bright. You want rooms to be timeless. That's the goal, especially when you own a home. You don't want to have to constantly redo things. But it's also okay to just get an area rug if you have wood floors.
Okay. Both of you, and correct me if I'm wrong, also really focus on cleaning. Is that correct? I mean, you've got what do you do about the accumulation of dust? Is that a carpet thing? Where, how do you address that? I mean, short of just, you know, doing the pledge or end dust stuff.
And, right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that's one of those things that just naturally comes with living, right? You know, you're just going to experience that. And I know here in Los Angeles, we keep our windows open a lot. And, you know, we deal with a lot of pollen. And so I do feel like I keep a Swiffer on hand at all times. That is just something that is around for me. You know what I mean? So I also believe in, if I'm cleaning up as I go, then it's not as overwhelming, you know, on Saturday when it's time to get up and throw on my Anita Baker or my gospel and really get to it. So I'm just about making sure I'm cleaning up as I go along. So that's Swiffering the house, you know, at some point every day and making sure I'm wiping things down. But, you know, that's just kind of a natural thing you're going to deal with because things happen. You know, you're living. And so when you're living, you're going to eventually have to clean up.
Wow.
So you can't avoid that. Unfortunately.
And the other thing too, and this is also the cleaning piece, which I think is, you know, so important. If you go to a Home Depot or a Lowe's or anything, and you, the entire cleaning section could be a store unto itself.
Right. Right.
What do you do with, you know, bathroom tile or you know, just your bathtub. What do you suggest? There's just so much stuff.
There is a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Right. I love Kaboom. That's one of my favorite items.
Kaboom is really great for tubs and bathrooms, namely because it changes colors so that you know when it's kind of done doing its thing. So you spray it on your tub, your sinks, whatever you may be, and it goes on blue. And as soon as it turns white, you know that it's time to wipe it up. Courtney, I'm sure we love the old school Comet. You know what I mean? You got to throw your Comet in the tub.
Yes, Comet, you know, Pine Sol. Be really honest and say these days I've started being more mindful about how many chemicals are in my home products.
Right, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to move into more green products just that don't have all of the chemicals and the harsh aromas. And so right now I'm actually using a product that I bought from some close friends of mine. It's called Amway, and I just bought it privately through them. But it's just a just low toxin, low like VOC household cleaners that I can use. But I think that's the main thing. Just be mindful of the ingredients that are in your stuff and that they're actually doing what they need to do, but not, you know, you don't have to open every window so that you don't pass out in the bathroom while you're grooming.
And that's honestly a thing, particularly if you are, in some cases, combining different cleaners in the same room.
Yeah. You know, mindful it is chemical, so that, you know, that's science projects.
Yeah, how about that?
Don't be there blowing up.
Although I must admit, one of the things that I have really found, and I was really kind of afraid to do this, I have a shower stall in the bedroom. I mean, it's literally big enough to step in and turn around. It's, you know, again, this is an older home. Mm-hmm. And the black and white tiles are 83 years old. Ooh. Steel wool pads, you know, like the Brillo pads and things like that, do not scratch the tile. And they clean very, very, I mean, I've been doing this for years. And I think someone suggested it to me. One of my neighbors suggested it to me. And the tiles are just as smooth as a fingernail. I was really surprised. Now some of the new stuff, I don't know. But there's a reason why 83-year-old tile looks like it did the day they put it in.
I agree. And I also think a lot with the cleaning products that are green, it's a lot of those old things where if you ask your grandmother and she's like, oh, put a little vinegar and a little bit of, you know, warm water, a little bit of lemon juice. You know, it's just stuff that was old that worked and that we kind of have done away with as we've gotten into newer things. But if you look at those ingredients in the clean products, it's back to the basics.
Yeah, some hot sauce and some shrimp and all of that. just throw that in there.
Only if it's fried.
Yeah, see, there you go. So what is the most difficult project that you two have worked on?
I mean, I think doing the pilot for the show was a learning experience for sure.
How so?
Well, I think that, you know, Courtney and I, this is not the first time that we've worked together, but the first time that we worked together in this capacity. And so I think just coming in, you know, working in a new space with one another, you know, we know each other very well. And so just coming in and having to make everything happen for ourselves, but also being watched by cameras, you know, just made us be very mindful of how we handled the process, making sure that we were doing our due diligence for our clients, because at the end of the day, they were still our clients. You know, we had to keep that in mind. So, you know, regardless of whether or not the television cameras were there, we wanted to be, you know, sure that they were satisfied when we were finished.
Mm-hmm. So no fights about the Easy Bake Oven that Leslie kicked when you were five. Or anything like
that. No.
And, you know, all jokes aside, I think that's what you said about knowing each other well and having the chemistry, the synergy. Mm-hmm. And to be quite honest, to represent us in this space that you don't see a lot of African-American women doing this, where you're interesting, entertaining, spirited, but this isn't the Housewives.
No.
And I just think that that's so, that I think that's so important. Now, what are some of the most creative things that you've done in a home or an apartment?
Ooh, we actually just put in some, we turned a little nook that would have otherwise been slightly useless in Leslie's entryway into a cool little shoe nook, put in some shelves and some wallpaper and just made it look cute. So I think that was just a fun way to repurpose a space and give it a little bit of life and a little personality of its own. That was pretty fun.
And a lot of people are trying to, especially some empty nesters, for example, are trying to figure out what to do with a child's room. And, my daughter is, she's out of the house. She's living in D.C., now with her grandmother, because it's we're in a pandemic and it's a family thing. You got to make sure that your seniors are watched after,
right?
Which is a wonderful thing. But now her bedroom looks like who knows what.
It's available.
Okay. It really is. It is available. I spoke to her just yesterday. I hope she's not listening. But I'm just wondering, what should people really look at if that room is available? What should they think about converting it to?
I think you should make the space something that you've wanted for a long time, right? Like, if you are a person that likes art and you're creative, make a craft room. Do that for yourself. Give yourself the space that you didn't get to have, because obviously, you were nurturing and caring and being a parent. I think to me, do something that you have been wanting. So if that's making it an office or, a closet, don't instantly go for the, like, it has to be a guest room. I would say do something fun that you've been longing to do and think about yourself in this moment, because you can.
And a lot of times, and this is one of the things I think is just so important, when people are trying to decorate or design and do it yourself, beyond the big box stores, where should they look for not just ideas? Because it gets back to that, that throw that still doesn't lay the way it does in the magazine for me. But where can you go to find things that you can afford? Because I think that's one of the things that is difficult for a lot of people when they try to figure out, well, I want to do this and I want to do that, but my goodness, do I have to take out a second mortgage to redecorate my daughter's bedroom?
Right. I think people underestimate. Yeah, I think people really underestimate and tend to forget vintage stores and like thrift stores and doing, a good dumpster dive. I'm very much into repurposing, refinishing and refurbishing furniture. And so I know a lot of times, even in my personal home, just starting out and being younger, I just would go to the Goodwill and I would find really well-made stuff that maybe just needed a little TLC, whether it was like a fresh stain or a fresh coat of paint or maybe like a new hinge or something. So keep those places in mind when you're going out to search for furniture, but also accessories. Those are the best places to find decor.
Talk to me, Courtney, a little bit more about well-made stuff. And I mentioned this during last week's show. So I was an upholsterer's apprentice with my grandfather for several years as a teenager. So I know furniture, but in order to do that, to get that knowledge, I spent several summers with him. A lot of people who are trying to do this same thing, particularly as it relates to furniture, don't have several summers. So what in particular should they be looking for when it comes to, for example, chairs, when it comes to sofas, love seats, dining room tables, and the like?
So I would just tell people that you really want to just pay attention to whether something is real wood or if it's, plywood or like a fake substrate, because when things are real wood, they'll last longer. And again, you can kind of restain them and you can sand them down and usually the lifespan is a lot longer. But I would definitely also just take notice when you're shopping for things, like look underneath it, you know, play around, push it around a little bit, see if the legs are wobbly, you know, see if any of the paint is already starting to peel off or chip off, because a lot of times you can tell some of that stuff, but we'll overlook it as something not so big, and then we're upset when it doesn't last as long.
So, and see, that brings me to the next point. Gosh, do you have to spend a whole lot of money to get quality stuff? I mean, like I have a Fairfield chair in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that thing's going to last for several generations. It wasn't cheap, but mm-hmm. I found it on sale. Mm-hmm. But that's because I know furniture. Is there a balance between inexpensive furniture that is not cheaply made? You know, everybody's got that octagonal table with the glass and the chairs, you know, with the cane back. I mean, you know, you just, you weren't starting out unless you had one of those.
Right. I know what you're talking about. You know what I think? I think that one, it is all about balance. And I think that you want to just, when you're shopping for your furniture, think about the things that you do want to last the longest and the largest pieces, because those are typically the things that you should invest the most in. You know, your bed. You don't want your bed to be very cheap because you lay on that every day. It's going to get a lot of wear and tear. Your sofa is going to get a lot of wear and tear. You know, but maybe just your dining chair, you know, maybe you're in a small place and you know that you're going to be moving into a bigger space, you know, in a couple of years. So you may not want to splurge so much on something like that. But what I would say is, when it comes to quality over quantity, keep in mind that you get what you pay for, and that if you do invest, because you want to think of large purchases as investments, if you do choose to invest in a more expensive piece of furniture, think about how much use per, like, with the cost that you're going to get out of it. So your chair, like you said, it's going to last generations. The lady who called earlier was saying she has had her sofa since the 80s. So it's now 2021. I would say it's totally worth probably the $5,000 that she's going to spend to reupholster it, because she's already had it for 30 years. So just imagine how many more years she's going to have it just by paying for that one upholstery fee. So that's all. You just want to think about those kind of things.
Biggest mistake that people make when going through this process? Decorating, renovating?
Biggest mistake. I think shopping before they measure or shopping before they've consulted somebody. So often people kind of go into new spaces, you know, they're excited about getting into them. They're excited about having a new home, apartment, or what have you. And they just start shopping instantly. But they haven't lived in the space, right? And so if you haven't lived in it, then you're not really sure about how you're going to live in it. You're not sure how it's going to function. And then I think sometimes it's hard to go back because you're like, oh, I've already bought this dining room table. And then I realized when I put it in there, it was really too big for the space. And I probably should have waited, you know. So I would say just doing preemptive shopping. You know, I know it's exciting. I know you can't wait to get in there. But take your time and just wait a little bit before you start making those big purchases.
I agree. Look, I've been trying to get this dining room painted since January. It is now May. So I think it's time. My dining room's been looking a little raggedy lately.
That doggone paint.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The sanding and, you know, the new dining room table and the chairs and all of that, it better look right.
It's going to look good.
It will.
I have to send you some pictures.
Worst
design that you've seen when you've gone into a space when someone has sent up the decorating SOS? Oh, go ahead. You don't have to.
Right,
the name.
Courtney,
don't mention anybody's name.
You know, I think mostly what I've seen paint jobs go wrong, which is why it's just funny that you were talking about how long it's kind of taking for yours, because I've seen where people come in and they're overly eager to, like, paint or to change the paint color of something, and then they didn't kind of go through the proper steps of, like, testing out colors to, like, see what it actually looks like in their room when the light hits inside you know, things looking white, and then the next morning it's like, my room is peach. I had no idea that my room was going to be peach. Wow. And I'm like, because this white has yellow in it, so why wouldn't it be peach? And, you know, they're like, I mean, how do you even know that? I'm like, swatches.
Right. Why you test it.
Paint jobs are usually, like, the most common thing I think that people do wrong.
Oh. Well, you know, I just have to say, you know, Leslie, you're going to have to do a cooking show, too.
I will be back.
Oh, I'll be back.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get some recipes together or something, because we gotta.
Yes.
We've got to make sure that we have all of that right. What's beyond my suggestion? What's next for you two beyond HGTV? Just between us.
We got some things in the works, but you guys keep a lookout because you might be seeing some collections coming your way.
Not collections, though. Okay.
Come on, fancy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always said black people deserve fancy.
Thank you. Now. I agree.
I'm all for that. I'm here for the fancy. There's no question about that, without a doubt. But you guys need to come back home, back to D.C.
Oh, we will.
Courtney's actually just there.
I know. I was just there last week.
Oh, see, and no one called.
and we won't let it happen again.
Absolutely.
Right, the next time we're in town, we're coming to visit.
Hey,
we're
look. Coming to visit. You know, when all of this COVID stuff lifts, you are certainly welcome back here in the studio anytime.
Thank you so much.
Courtney Robinson, Leslie Antonoff, the Six Sister Fixers from HGTV, and of course Howard University's own. Ladies, thank you so much. Good luck, much success to you both.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate you. We love you, DC.
Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, May 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.